The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday in which most of you are at home, and you got a chance to enjoy a little snow. We're getting ready for, as you just heard our buddy Joe Patrick talk about, the second game of the college football playoff tonight. Semifinals, Texas, Ohio State. We're going to break that down. B-Mac's going to join us. Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion in less than 20 minutes. And Orange got Yeah Man, No Man today for us. We will also get to our picks in the 4 o'clock hour. Mike, real quick, is there a game? We got games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in the NFL. The Monday game is Minnesota at L.A. Remember, that game has been moved to Arizona because of the fires out there in L.A. But is there one that you're looking forward to?
Well, I think for me, I got to say, I'm the Steelers and Ravens, just because, you know, in that division and how hard it is, you know, when teams have to meet three times in 1 year, and Lamar Jackson, the pressure that's always seems to be on him to get to that next level. Steelers, I mean, you said it. This could be the last, I mean, I'm not saying last game Mike Tomlin's going to coach, but it's almost like, it's been so long. We've always accepted him as like one of the, you know, legendary coaches. They've always had, you know, the continuation of great coaches, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and then Mike Tomlin. But it's like, what have you done for me lately, as in like the last 15 years?
Yeah, it's fair. And we love Tomlin and we make fun of him because I kind of look like him. But at the end of the day, man, you know what? All these winning seasons, I mean, would we trade it? Yeah, because it's been so long for us. But then at some point as a fan base, you go, just like with all Steelers fans, the expectation is Super Bowl. It's different, right? We know that. So to not have a playoff win in such a long time for them is a big deal. And now you got to take on the Ravens, who might be peaking and playing their best football right now.
I think so. I mean, there's some great matchups. The only one, I don't know what we're going to get from the Houston Texans, and that's the early game coming up tomorrow, just because, you know, if we're honest, I'm not saying he took a step backwards, but C.J. Stroud and his highly touted offensive coordinator, you know, that offense was kind of very anemic, and they were struggling to get to 24 points so many times this year. Chargers seem like they've got the best defense. Bosa's healthier. Even though they are on the road, they're a 3-point favorite, are Los Angeles in that one. And we'll get into it with Brian McFadden, but I think the Packers and the Eagles, remember, that was the game down in Sao Paulo to start the season on Friday night back in September. And I just think the Eagles, after all the soap operas and all the nonsense, and, you know, it's always seemed like there's always something brewing with the Eagles. Now it's time to get down to work and see if Jalen Hurts can, you know, be consistent, get that, you know, the vertical passing game, which was missing, then got back in it. So, yeah, either way, there's a lot of style makes the fight. There's a lot of good matchups other than maybe that Broncos-Bills. I think most fans expect the Bills to roll in that one.
Yeah, I do too. A couple of news notes, and then we'll get to 4th and 1 here, and we'll let you hear from Deion Sanders, who says, I'm willing to go to the NFL if, and also what Drew Rosenhaus is saying about Tyreek Hill. Patriots have completed a virtual interview with Ben Johnson. So he's the hottest candidate because the Lions are rolling. You know, their offense is incredible. He's an OC, works with quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how attractive that job is to him with again, Drake May, but he's completed that interview. And then, Mike, I just wanted to mention this because I tweeted it out. And sometimes you watch guys and you just don't realize how good they are. And maybe we did with Brock Bowers. But the All-Pro teams came out. And Brock Bowers is a first-team All-Pro tight end in his rookie year with the Raiders, and they didn't have a quarterback. And it's so upsetting because all I've heard is excuses about Kyle Pitts and what he's had. Oh, he didn't have a quarterback. Neither did Brock, and he just produced. Right. And so Lamar, as you were talking about that matchup against the Steelers, he is the first team All-Pro quarterback. He beats out Josh Allen, obviously Saquon Barkley. Jamar Chase, first team All-Pro. He's about to get his bag. Justin Jefferson, All-Pro, first team. And then, you know, Not to throw salt in the wound, but we got a pretty good guard in Lindstrom. I'm not tripping. But Penei Sewell, guys, and I just want to put this in perspective. Penei Sewell is a first-team All-Pro player. He's the reason why they are able to run the ball up there with the Lions. And, Mike, along with one other guy named Anthony Munoz, he's the only other guy to be a first-team All-Pro player twice at his position before turning 25 years old. That's the guy. That was who we should have went with.
You and I went round and round that draft, and we talked about everybody from Justin Fields to Penei Sewell, and then eventually, you know, you had the inside scoop. It looked like it was going to be Pitts. Sewell, it would not have been sexy, and I don't know if because there were so many issues on this team that he, in his heart of hearts, and again, we thought, wow, Pitts really does look like in a small sample size at Florida in 2 years that this guy is going to be something special because there's such a, you know, not obsession, but you want to have that dynamic tight end, you know, whether it's Kelce or Kittle, you know, everybody wants to have that. We had Tony Gonzalez here, you know, and was some amazing years offensively with the Falcons, and unfortunately, after that 1 year where he was the second tight end on the NFC behind George Kittle as a Pro Bowler, Kyle Pitts, I don't know, to tell you guys, injuries, availability, ability, it's all part of it. Injury, the intensity, you know, I know we debate, we have a lot of guys who feel we're too hard on him. Well, you guys are soft, man. I mean, experts that cover this game named Rodney Harrison and Greg Olson and what they've seen of the guy don't see it, and nor do Carl and I. So it's frustrating because you're right. It reminds me of when Roddy White had three bums thrown him the football in 2007. Chris Redman, Byron Leftwich, Joey Harrington. Roddy got a 1,000-yard season. That's how hard that is on a bad football team when you're the only real viable weapon down the field. But that's and the same thing goes for Brock Bowers. It's a testament just how good this guy is.
So one other thing, and then we'll get to fourth and one. All pro first team defense. I think Jesse Bates should have made it. He has been the one constant defensively that you can count on and say he's a difference maker. He's going to create a turnover. He's going to strip a guy. He's going to get a pick six. He didn't. Now, that doesn't mean he won't make second or third team. That's fine. But I do want to give him some props here, and I get it. Marlon Humphreys had a great year for Baltimore. You know, you talk about the safeties, guys. Kirby Joseph with Detroit, and they're a playoff team, big part of what they do. And then Xavier McKinney with the Green Bay Packers. Those are the two safeties that made first-team All-Pro. I think Jesse Bates deserved it. But I only bring that up because the Brock Bowers thing really rubbed me wrong, Mike. I'm just like, I'm over making excuses for a guy who should be better. And, again, a higher pick than – what was Bowers? Was Bowers the fourth overall pick? No.
Yeah, Bowers 8. They picked 11. I think that was the Raiders. Remember the Raiders took him, I think, at 11, right, Orin? Is that correct? Because that was they were going to try to move up in the draft if they were so inclined to go after a quarterback. But yeah, I thought that Brock Bowers, we knew he was going to be good, but I mean, did people really expect it to be this good?
Yeah,
and he was selected 13th, by the way. The Raiders selected at 13 in this year's draft, and he's been amazing. Ladd McConkey's been amazing. You'll see him in the playoffs for the Chargers this year.
It
just frustrates us because, look, guys, if Pitts, by year four, you know, what are you guys expecting to see next year? I mean, we went round and round with Arthur Smith. We used to say, look, if the guy can't block, then forget it. Don't ask him to block. Yeah. Just, you know, figure it out, you know? Use him down. And the other thing, and you brought this up, the way that Zach Robinson's offense functions and the Puka Nacua kind of role that he takes and the way that Drake London uses that kind of routes, a lot of folks, and Brian McFadden has pointed that out, Archer's talked about it. That may be where Kyle Pitts should be living. So is that also on Zach Robinson? How much of this is on his own lack of production, or if he feels he's not as big a factor in the game that he tunes out, and that's what translates to sometimes him looking lazy?
Yeah, more on this, guys. But those teams are out. Congratulations to all the guys that made it. But if you were going to say, hey, what Falcons deserve it, to me, that's the guy would be Jesse. Hey, let's get to fourth and one. We're going to talk about all these games with Brian McFadden coming up in less than 7 minutes. Stay there. Let me hear Drew Rosenhaus talk about Tyreek Hill. This is the agent of Tyreek who basically says he's not going anywhere.
Tyreek is very passionate. Anyone I've ever represented that was great was passionate. They cared. What you see with Tyreek is very genuine. He wants to win. It's not good enough for him not to make the playoffs. He is very passionate. I think at the end of the day, he's committed to this Dolphin football team. He had an excellent meeting with Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. I believe that Tyreek is a great asset to the Dolphins, and I think he's the least guy that people should be worried about for this organization. They have many more worries. Tyreek Hill's not one of them.
Okay. All right.
All right. Look, Tyreek said what he said, and then the coach, I have a good relationship with him. Of course, he can't walk off the field and take himself out of the game. Coach Mike McDaniel. Yeah, I mean, like Tariq, we said yesterday, it's not that complicated. He's just no one debates the talent and the cheetah is what he is, but he's just another pain in the ass prima donna wide receiver who always got to make a dollar and a penny more than the next wide receiver in the league because he thinks he is the best. But he got in his bag about Waddle, so then he asked for a raise. I think you got a lot of balls to ask for a raise and then demand a trade in the same season. Only why? Because your quarterback was out for 5 games because of the concussion protocol? Come on.
I'm with you. Deion Sanders, is he going to end up in the NFL? This is the only way he would.
I'm seeing from the beginning of coaching my babies to the last walk in the end. You know how painful that is, man, to see that this is it. This may be it. And let me say this before y'all jump to it, because I know y'all going to jump to it. The only way I would consider continuing is that I'm coaching my sons, plural, not singularly. Plural, or I wouldn't even think about it because I love Colorado. I love everything I do.
Okay. Mikey,
I mean, you're one of your sons would be drafted. One of your sons would be an undrafted free agent.
That's right. That's right. And
if, talking about Shiloh.
Well, if you're in, and here's the deal: we saw LeBron do this. Now you're talking about putting. Well, listen, Shador is going to be on somebody's roster, but putting your other son on the roster just because that's what you demand? I mean, I don't know. I get where he's coming from, and he has every right to say that, like, here's what I want, and if it doesn't happen, I'm not coming. But that's a lot, man. Like, even if I was considering. Now, Deion has not been interviewed by any of these jobs as far as these open coaching jobs in the NFL.
Right.
I don't think he's going to NFL. I've been saying this. I think he's, you know, going to stay at Colorado. He's got a great relationship with the AD there. He took a chance on him. They're turning it around. But, Mike, that's a hell of a demand to say you got to have both of my sons if you're going to make me the head coach.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. I mean, I joked around with Carl the other day. Shiloh isn't Bronny, but, you know, if we're honest. I mean, the stats don't exactly leap off the page, Carl. No. His career numbers as far as interceptions, let's see, he's got one. Not exactly a ball hawk, Carl, if we're honest here. So, playing the safety position. But, yeah, if you are the Patriots and there was that story. And I think, you know, I don't know if it started in a column up in Boston or it was Sports Talk Radio. But the idea, it got a little bit of leverage. Chris was talking about it, I think, on his one night time on his shows. That the idea is you bring in Deion Sanders and you bring in Shador how do you say no to the Heisman Trophy winner, right? I mean, you got so many. But anyway, if you bring in Shador and you bring in Deion, you said it yesterday. Is that just too much for some certain amount of franchise can handle all that ego?
It's a lot, man. I mean, like, I just feel like from a player standpoint, how comfortable do I feel going, and especially if I have a problem? I'm not saying they would, but you never know on these teams how stuff pops up. And I got to go to the coach and talk to him about his son. I mean, again, high school is one thing. We've seen it in college. We just saw it. You can handle that. I think when you're in the NFL, it's a different animal. And now you got to answer to the owner too, Mike. I mean, like, you know, when the owner's like, hey, and then what, are you going to get mad because he's criticizing your son? He's criticizing his performance. So I just think it's an interesting dynamic. One other thing I want to get to, John Lynch talking about Brock Purdy. We talked about the contract. Here is their general manager, John Lynch.
What we know about Brock is that he's our guy. We've got, you know, we have interest in Brock being around here for a long, long time. He's done so much for our organization. He's won big games and had a little tougher task, as we all did this year, with some of the things that happened throughout the course of the year. We just never could string games where we were all together. And through that, he continued to lead. He continued to play at a high level. So we have every interest in him being around.
So you said what, 45 or 50?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what some other guys have gotten, and the market got reset again. Certainly with Dak, he's not going to get Dak money. But, I mean, okay, $46 million? That's what Kyler Murray's making. I just wonder how aggressive his representation is going to be on this one. Because the other question, I think a lot of folks have said, what is Brock Purdy if he doesn't have Kyle Shanahan in that offense? Because you know, everyone wants to say every quarterback plays in a system, but some systems are better made for certain quarterbacks.
Yep, I totally agree. All right, guys, we got more to get to. Brian McFadden's going to join us. Stay there. We'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday, everybody. Coming up, we are going to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Big O will have that for us here in about 15 minutes. But right now, we got to talk to our man, Brian McFadden. He is a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is also a CBS NFL analyst, does a great podcast as well called All Things Covered. B, I want to start with the Falcons and kind of recap with that before we get to this weekend's games and get your opinions. So frustrating to see the season end the way it did. What's your evaluation of the Falcons, the way things were handled this season, Raheem Morris, just the whole kit and caboodle?
I have mixed views. I have mixed views because to be, 6-3 in the first 9 ball games, to have complete control over the division, just to see it all squander away in the last month of the season is disappointing. It's disappointing. But we did see some good things from the Atlanta Falcons. Number one, Michael Penix Jr., he looks like he's QB1. I mean, in the short sample size of what we've watched with him, he can sling it. The moment never was too big for him. That's a bright spot. I think moving forward, when you talk about Coach Raheem, you know, being at the helm this season, he went through some growing pains. He has to learn. I think clock management is an issue. I think he has to become better in that area. And also, too, I think he needs to become better at making, you know, decisions that might not be seen as the best thing in terms of what the masses might say. Because one would say, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, if he made the move to start Michael Penix sooner than what he did, the Falcons probably would have gotten into the playoffs. Now, there's a lot of ifs, right? If hindsight was 2020, we'd all be in a better position. But just the look out of things from what I watch, from my view, you know, those are my sentiments.
Yeah, that's the thing, B. We had some moments, and no one could ever have ever foreseen Kirk Cousins falling apart the way he did. But there were still moments to get the game back. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about those, you know, decisions in the Commanders game. But even though you did have a slim chance and you needed the Saints to win, I just think that's the worst possible taste you could leave in the fans' mouth, is to look that bad on defense in the last game of the season.
To Bryce Young.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Now, Bryce Young has been playing inspired football since returning in the starting lineup. But you cannot allow Bryce Young to look like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. No, not in a win-or-go-home scenario, right? Everything was in the middle of the table. Now, you still needed some help, and you didn't get the necessary help that you needed. But what if you did? Right? You see, that to your point, fans usually, you know, the last thing they see is the last thing they talk about. And for Atlanta Falcons fans, you talk about having a letdown loss at home to the Carolina Panthers led by Bryce Young, where he just was unstoppable in a game in which you needed to win.
All right. And look, we can talk about whether they would have or should have fired coaches. They didn't. Terry Fontenot spoke to the media. We're just wrapping up our Falcons conversation here with BMAC before we talk about some of these games, the wild card weekend. But what did you think there? Would you have moved on from any of these guys, specifically Jimmy Lake?
No. I think it was a learning experience for everyone, all parties involved in terms of the staff. Like I said, we've seen some good things, right? You look at the offense. You got young studs on the offense that will play together for quite some time. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix. That's a big three you can build around offensively. And you add a weapon, another weapon or so. All right, you like that. Defensively, I think that was the bigger surprise in terms of the letdown of performances on that side of the ball. You have to continue to add talent on that side of the ball to be relevant. In terms of the coaching, like I said, it was growing pains, but I don't think making a necessary move and firing, you know, any significant individual in terms of the staff, that's probably the way to go, unless you're telling me option B is better than option A. And if you look at the entire landscape of the NFL, there are so many vacancies, you know, in terms of head coaches, in terms of GMs, in terms of coordinators. There's only a few good individuals that can fill those vacancies. And if you're Atlanta, the thing about Atlanta is that every year, until we see otherwise, you're in a winnable division. So you're only a player or so away from winning the division. You know, we saw that last year. You know, we saw that the year before. So if you can just kind of continue to add and learn from the experiences from this season, you should be in a better spot next year.
Hey, let me throw a crazy idea. It's Brian McFadden, Georgia's guys, two-time Super Bowl winner. We'll talk about his Steelers in dangerous ground coming up in a minute. But here's the deal. They said that Raheem Morris, I asked him the question. He said, I work in all areas. But there was reports he got more involved with the defense. We got better at getting the quarterback on the ground. He was a really good DC with the Rams. And he doesn't talk to anybody on the sideline. So why don't we make him the head coach and defensive coordinator, B? How's that?
I mean, I'm okay with that. If that can make the defense and the team better, no question. Let's look at some coordinators that actually are the head coach, but they call plays. Kevin O'Connell, right? Sean McVay, you know, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniels. Now, the one caveat is what? All of those coaches call the offensive side, right? We rarely see a head coach who is a defensive-minded guy call plays on the defensive side. Now, we've seen instances happening where a head coach takes over the play calling on the defensive side, but starting out with that title from day one, we rarely see it. But to your point, if he is the best defensive-minded guy on the team and you have issues, no question, just take over, because that's how you got the opportunities you receive, is by being a defensive-minded guy.
All right, B, let's talk about these games in order. Here, we had a few minutes with you. Saturday, Chargers at Houston. I like the Chargers. It's a three-point game as we speak. Chargers are favored by 3. And then we got Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Let's start with the Charger game.
I love the Chargers as well. I'm right there with you. I actually have them included in my parlay. I have the Chargers. I have two parlays going, matter of fact, for the listeners checking in. I have the Chargers winning money line parlay, and I have a teaser with the Chargers getting +3. But I have the Chargers because they've been playing really, really good football, and I feel like in terms of playoff atmosphere, you don't want to go into the playoffs kind of limping. Yes, Houston beat the Tennessee Titans in the final week of the season, but outside of that, you guys saw the struggles. They can't protect their quarterback. It seems like C.J. Stroud has taken a step or two in the wrong direction this season, and just the chemistry and efficiency hasn't been there. And Coach Harbaugh is a heck of a coach. What we're seeing with his team doing more with less, that's been overly impressive. And I like the Chargers because they go into this ball game with a lot of confidence.
What about this Steelers game, man? I know that Lamar Jackson is always seems to be extra added pressure because, you know, he's still got to get to the Super Bowl. He's been a two-time MVP. The only thing missing from the resume is the title for the Charm City. And the Steelers and legacy on the line for Tomlin. I think a lot of folks are starting to get a little antsy about Mike Tomlin and what doesn't happen there.
You know, well, Pittsburgh Steelers fans are spoiled, Carl and Mike. They're spoiled. Like, it's only one solution. That's competing for championships. And unfortunately, they haven't been close. And we've seen moments where they look like a competitive championship-caliber team, but we've seen more moments where they don't look that way. And how many times have you seen a team go into the playoffs in the midst of a four-game regular season losing streak? Right? You don't see that. So for Pittsburgh, I'll say this much. If you had to pick your opponent and you couldn't pick Houston, I think they would pick Baltimore because of the familiarity of that side, you know, playing against them and having success against Lamar Jackson. But this is a big moment for both sides. Lamar Jackson with the regular season of success, but postseason success hasn't been there. And the Pittsburgh Steelers under Mike Tomlin, they haven't won a ball game, playoff game since 2016. And that's not acceptable, and that's why a lot of fans are in an uproar. I can tell you this much, though. Two things going to happen in that ball game: either Pittsburgh going to win, or they're going to get blown out. I don't see any in between where it's a close game. That's how I feel, and because of that, I excluded them. I excluded this game out of my parlay ticket, by the way, because I cannot be financially involved in a game with Pittsburgh and emotionally involved. That won't be good for my health.
No, it's not. Let's talk about Sunday. Denver at Buffalo. I like Buffalo. Green Bay at Philly. Yep. I think Philly's better. And Washington is my upset at Tampa. Tell me what you think.
I love it. I have Buffalo in that same parlay that I included the Chargers. I have the money line in the money line parlay, and I have Buffalo getting like a point and a half in my teaser. I love Philadelphia as well. Now, I'll tell you this much with Philly. Jalen Hurts, the last time we saw Jalen Hurts, he went to sleep. Like, how is he? Like, is he ready to go? Like, you know what I mean? Because the one issue with Philly, they've been getting off to slow starts. They've been finding ways to win and doing so with style points, but you don't want to get off to a slow start in a playoff game. So that's my concern about the rhythm And will he jump right back in the saddle like he did before he went to sleep? But I do have Philly in that same parlay teaser. I got Philly getting 3 points in my teaser, and then I got the straight up getting a money line. And then with Tampa, that's an intriguing matchup too. I have Tampa money line parlay, and then I have Tampa getting 3 points as well in my teaser. I like Tampa in that game too, guys, because Baker Mayfield, we can talk about how good Jaden Daniels have been, but what about Baker? Like, Baker threw 40 touchdowns, guys.
Right?
40 touchdowns and completed 70% of his passes. Baker has been outstanding. Now, which quarterback is going to outplay the other? I think that would be the deciding factor in that Commanders-Bucks game.
And they get Antoine Winfield back. So he's been out, and he's back for Tampa Bay as well on the defensive side. And then finally, you got the
if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Good pull. The strangeness of having to relocate to Arizona for the Vikings and the Rams. It's not like there's any home field advantage for the Rams anyway, because they never sell out. It's always the visiting fans. But do you feel Sam Darnold? I mean, we talked before you came on about how Sam Darnold was a bit, you know, I don't know. They got to him, and they really created him some bad throws. Can the Rams do likewise against the Vikes?
Yeah, and think about this, guys. When you look at the entire playoffs, all the quarterbacks in the playoffs, it feels like Sam Darnold is the one the fans trust the least. Like, you're waiting on Sam Darnold to flatline and get back to being the old Sam Darnold. It was like, and to your point, he kind of reverted back to the old Sam Darnold last week against the Detroit Lions, right? But right. To your point, with the relocating this ball game, I don't think it affects either side, especially with the game being played Monday. So travel-wise, you know, Minnesota, they're not traveling until Sunday. It's all about, you know, the adjustments, because we saw this matchup early in the year. You know, the Rams kind of, they had a field day. Matthew Stafford outplayed Sam Darnold, and, you know, they made Sam Darnold look like a pedestrian in terms of what he did numbers-wise. But I'm going to side with Minnesota, guys. I think I'm going to side with Minnesota, and because they kind of got kicked in the mouth last week, and usually that kind of wakes you up. You know what I mean? We didn't see Justin Jefferson doing Justin Jefferson-like things. The same could be said for Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson. And that's the one sweet spot against the Rams defense. You can have success against their secondary if you can hold up just long enough with their quarterback in the pocket. So I have Minnesota in that one. And like I said, money line Minnesota in my tees, I have Minnesota getting 3.5.
Good stuff. B-Mac, man, enjoy the weekend. Be safe and appreciate you as always. Enjoy the games, brother.
All right, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Also coming up, we'll talk more about Carson Beck. He makes it official at 4 o'clock, and we'll get to our pick segment. It's all on the way. All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors, thanks to BMAC for stopping by. We'll give you our official picks coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, Carson Beck puts out a post making it official. He is transferring to the U. If you're just joining us, we're going to get back into our conversation about the process, too, with the Falcons and talk more about the college football playoff tonight, Texas-Ohio State. We saw Notre Dame advance last night, so we'll get into all of that stuff, man. Hope you're having a great day. We certainly were talking about how much fun we were having this morning, Mike, and then, you know, I walked outside just to take a quick look, and it is a lot of slush now and stuff is melting, but it's supposed to freeze again tonight, right?
Yeah, different parts of the area down south of I-20 where I live, it looks like it's going to stay above freezing. But yeah, in some spots in the north, it's going to that's the problem, because obviously we just don't have the you know, the capacity with the trucks to get all the roads where they need to be. So just be careful out there. I know that I'm not doing nothing until tomorrow afternoon and I see some sunshine, because not monkeying around with this. No way, Jose.
No reason to, and you shouldn't either if you don't have to. Hey, Big O's got yeah, man, no man. Turtle is chilling today. He's actually working, but he's not there. And so Oren, who is and stayed overnight, as we talked about, some folks that had a chance to, you know, be close to the studio, so they didn't have any travel issues, and Oren was one of them. So glad that you were able to be there, Oren, and we love the fact that you, you know, were having a good time, I hope, last night. You're going to get another chance to hang out tonight, is that right?
Yeah, so we're going to do a little fellowship tonight, myself, Abe Gordon, and Bo Johnson. Abe is the walking package store, so to speak. He sent a text out like the day before yesterday. It was like, hey, man, you know, we can do the bar thing for the Cotton Bowl, or I could just bring bottles. And before Bo Johnson and I got a chance to answer, Abe's like, I'm going to bring this, 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 and this. Then I'll bring these mixers, and I'll bring these mixers. Like, I guess I'm okay with all that then, Abe. So Abe's got a a collection of various spirits hanging in his hotel room right now. So yeah.
Nice. Oh, Abe, it's like Abe the Bodega. Yeah. By the way, it's funny. You're hanging out with Bo Johnson. Luckily, I don't believe he's got any. Maybe he does have some skin in the game tonight with Ohio State and Texas. Carl, when I spent, we shared a house down in Orlando for the LSU Florida State game, Oren, and it was the Braves in the middle of the pennant race. This is back in 23. Oren, you've never seen anything like watching a regular season baseball game with Bo Johnson. He loses his freaking mind. Well, Carl, he literally does watch all nine innings and lives it pitch to pitch. It's insane.
I'm glad tonight he has no rooting interest in this football game then. There's no LSU,
right. No
local teams. It's just two teams he can sit back. So, yeah, kind of glad about that. But I think I may have to play a little bit of catch-up tonight. I'm here until 10, so I'll have Fricky from 7 to 10.
Oh.
So I'll probably build up a little bit of desire to drink after that.
No doubt. You probably will.
So I'll catch those guys a little bit later, and then we'll go.
Make it a double. Yes.
So what you got, O? What you got for us?
We'll start off the day a little bittersweet today, guys. I am here working, but wifey sent some videos. It was little man's first snow day today. So, one of my nieces, one of Brittany's, her niece's sister's kid, gifted us a snowsuit that we never thought we'd ever have the chance to put him in. So got to see a video of him walking around in his snowsuit in the yard today, just taking up something. You know, like LeBron does the chalk, just throws it in the air. That's what he was doing with snow. He would just throw it up in the air and just kind of walk under it. So got a kick out of that, just walk. And then, you know, he's a big two-year-old, but, you know, still a small kid. So just seeing, like, just almost the entirety of his foot just kind of disappear into the snow, too. But, you know, a little bittersweet not being able to see that today or be out there with him today. But glad wifey was here to get a video. And I saw you posted the video of Ike out there in the snow, Mike. Ike having a good time. So shout out to all the parents out there who had their first snow days with their kids today. It was a, you know, it's a great moment in time. So
it is.
Right on. And Carl, for me, this is as close as I need to get. I mean, you guys, Carl, you remember, did Trinity ever get snow in Texas for the first time when you was a kid?
Well, we got snow here. I mean, she was here for Snowmageddon and all the snow times that we've been here. I was saying, like, for our neighborhood and the fun that she had and the fun that we have, even now, I mean, like today, the kids were out. Everybody's talking, you know, about where they're going and let's go to the hill. There's a hill right by, you know, I talk about it all the time. We live on a big hill. I love seeing just the interaction and that first time. Like, it's like there's nothing like the first time, right? We say that in life, but like there's nothing like that first time where you're talking about your kiddo Oren and his eyes are big and you're like, what is this? Like I said, Frankie went out today, our 7-month-old, you know, Boston, and he's like, what is this powder? What? And he's running around digging and like trying to find stuff under it because he thinks it's like a game. And then he's running around and, you know, he's like, you would think he was some kind of Alaskan husky. Because he was not afraid. He's running around outside. But it's great, man. I'm with you, O. I love these moments. And then, you know, what the deal is for us down here is we don't have it all the time. So it's like we get to visit this. It goes away. And then we get our weather back. And it's great. We don't have to live in this. I said this to Mike last week.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. I don't know how people live. I just don't. In Minnesota. Mm. Or, you know, South Dakota. I don't know how you guys do it.
Like New Hampshire, 7 months and Maine
of
this. Up there, yeah.
Yeah, it's too much.
Right. I mean, because we learned, you know, growing up in the Northeast, you know how to drive in this stuff. And now, I mean, I'm so far removed, I wouldn't even want to think about getting it. Even a car with all-wheel drive, I don't want to mess with it at this stage. And it's funny because, you know, we talked about, remember I was in Chicago a couple years back, Carl? You know, like half a foot of snow. My Uber guy's like, he's facing me while he's driving. You got to tell all your listeners what a jerk jink. Like, you look at the freaking road. But again, if you live in Chi-Town, you're used to that stuff. You can deal with it. And I'm like, Carl, I was literally like a little kid today. And thanks for what I mentioned. I got the videos up. I mean, my dog is running around by the way, Carl, he is completely out cold. Two and a half hours in the snow. He is a boneless chicken right now.
Yeah.
But I'm like a little kid today. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
And also, too, before we get to the stories here, I want to send a props out to this one spot, chain in the Southeast, all across the United States. There's the Waffle House Index that exists when there's a natural disaster. That's how you know how bad it is. Like, if the Waffle House is closed, then wherever you are at that point, you need to pick up shop, you need to leave, you need to get out of there. So Waffle Houses are open today. They're serving people. So shout out to all the people up there at Waffle House working
That's
today.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys are, you know, heroes. Among heroes, keeping things open for patrons today. So shout out to the folks at
doing God's work.
Absolutely,
right on.
I sent you guys this story earlier, and we've talked about the one side of it, I guess, with Carson Beck transferring to the University of Miami. Going to be down there with Miss Cavender, his girlfriend, down there with Mario Cristobal. Probably going to be the starter, getting paid a hefty amount, and it's not bad being a millionaire in Miami. We never actually, though, kind of got the Georgia perspective of this. Like, maybe a little bit from Rusty. Rusty talking about the timetable being accelerated and Gunner being, you know, they want Gunner to be the guy. Interesting article today from CBS Sports and Brandon Marcello. A little bit more insight into the whole backstory of Carson and the Sugar Bowl and why the transfer also may have happened. He was on the sideline for the Sugar Bowl, but he only got to New Orleans a day after all of his teammates did. You heard Kirby talk about when asked about Carson before they went to New Orleans. It was like, he's not here right now. He's not with the team. He's getting opinions right now on the elbow. Apparently that rubbed people the wrong way, and he had been rubbing people the wrong way, his teammates at UGA. Some within the program that week seemed ready to move on from Beck, whose personality and headline-grabbing relationship with Hannah Cavender had become a distraction and a source of frustration for some teammates, sources say, though many of his teammates remained supportive of him as he dealt with a season-ending injury. So a bit of friction maybe as to why not just, you know, Carson's exit from Miami occur. I mean, is going to Miami occur, I should say.
So, well, Carl, I mean, it's an injury. You can't help an injury. I'm sorry, I was going to say, you can't help an injury, but just real quick before, I want to hear what you're going to say. Remember we played that soundbite where Kirby was talking about how the team, the intensity ramps up with Gunnar Stockton? And you and I both kind of raised our eyebrows at that? Interesting.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mike, there's always stuff going on behind the scenes that we, just publicly speaking, right? I mean, there may be things that we, as members of the media and talking to folks that we may know about, I always tell you guys, like, there's 90% of the things that I know that I can't tell you. 10% I can. And part of that is stuff like this. When this kind of stuff comes out and you go, that rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way. Guys, it makes it easy for a coaching staff and a head coach to make a decision if a situation arises like this where he says, hey, coach, I want to come back. Or even if you have this conversation, you go, I think it's best that you probably, you know, do this. Because you know what the team's attitude is, it doesn't mean that they don't like Carson, but that kind of stuff, like, if you're talking about his girlfriend and all this other stuff much more than you are and the focus that you need, we've said this time and time again. Big O, I asked Mike yesterday and I asked our audience. It's not his talent, guys. He's got the tools and talent. Does he have the mental? And if you're telling me that this is the kind of stuff that was overbearing and was maybe in the way, that's a problem. And, you know, it doesn't mean that, again, he might not go to Miami and be successful. But it does explain a little bit about how this was accelerated, if in fact all of these things are true.
Well, remember we talked about his, you know, he did, and he was open in talking about pressure and dealing with pressure. He talked about it last. Remember you and I, we again raised our eyebrows last year. Like, well, don't even go down that road. You know, there's a lot of pressure here. Don't say that. You know, but and then we joked around about, and some people freaked out, and we knew it would be taken over and being overblown about saying how he doesn't really like watching football unless, you know, it's film. And I don't think that's anything. And maybe personnel guys will, you know, grind him out over next year when he goes into the combine. But the article that Aura is talking about from CBS Sports, they say, you know, there's got to be. At some point, the teammates are looking around like, what the hell, man? 12 interception spree between his fourth and 10th games. Where, you know, if you're a player, I'm doing my part. All right, go get him, offense. And then he just turns it right back over, like in the Texas game or the Alabama game. So even though, yes, Kirby preaches team and it's a team concept, maybe they were ready. Maybe there were some guys on the team just spitballing it here. We're ready to get behind another QB.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, Orin. It really is.
Well, in any case, Gunner is expected to be the guy next year, and Carson, talked about earlier, Mike, got a nice several million-dollar payday from Miami and gets his 1 year down there. And also, too, interesting enough, the Miami the athletic department, the sports department down there in Miami, the Twitter account, they tweeted out, very interestingly, Hannah Cavender's best assist of the year after Carson Beck announced he was coming to Miami. So, you know.
Right.
Good assist right there from Hannah. Today also, guys, Oh, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you, both of you guys, is he going to be a rock star down there? I mean, Miami is coming off a great season. I don't know how much guys they turned over. I know they've been recruiting well, but do you feel he's going to be successful down there?
Yeah, listen, Cam Ward I thought was a hell of a player. I enjoyed watching Cam Ward. I don't think he's as good as Cam Ward. That's just where I'm at.
Cam Ward had very special arm talent. Carson's got a good arm. There's a reason why Cam Ward's going to be one of the first players selected in this year's draft, because he's that special.
Right.
Last story before we get out of here, guys. We saw last week Jerry Jones very curiously blocked the Chicago Bears from talking to Mike McCarthy. Maybe today is the reason why. They are meeting, or they have met today, him and Jerry Jones, as they begin to discuss a contract extension from Mike McCarthy. So the guy who was on the hot seat all last season, all through the offseason, may end up being the coach in Dallas for a few more years.
Cheaper to keep her. You can go out and hire a hot name. It would probably cost you more. Let's just say they wanted to bring in Ben Johnson. It's going to cost you a little bit more because everybody's interested. This is easy. And this is why when they made that decision, I was laughing, because all that conversation about, oh, we don't know, and McCarthy's fired, but yet you block him from talking to other teams because you didn't want to deal with the price going up and having other teams the ability to hire him. This is simple math. Cheaper to keep her, and you keep moving, you know, with what you have and the belief that he can get you there. I don't know if he can, Mike, but this is simple to me with Jerry Jones' decision.
Man, 1-3 in the playoffs. If Jerry Jones wasn't so cheap about his coaches and those contracts, he should have been fired after that disaster against Green Bay. Yep. You got to get more out of Dak, and you got to start all from scratch again. Look, this is just further proof that Jerry has no idea what he's doing with the Cowboys.
On that note, guys, let's go hang it out of here.
Good stuff, Big O. This hour, again, brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. All right, we're coming back. What's going to happen tonight? We're talking about Ohio State and Texas. We'll lay it out for you as part of our dog report and our road to the college football playoff next.